to have you here, and we are in the middle of a series called Because You Asked, and you have driven this series with your questions. And this morning, we are going to take the batch of questions that are called children's questions. So the title is Children's Questions, but I was amazed at how the questions flowed together. And so I want to talk to you why this is important. Kids' questions are really important because Jesus himself said this while he was here on this earth. He said one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay their hands on them and pray for them. Wouldn't that have been cool? You're a parent and here's Jesus and this special man, and you bring your kids to him, and all of a sudden this row of adults stand up and say, "You can't come." But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Well, they're protecting him, okay? But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." Children have innocent questions that they want answered. And it says, he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them before he left. And so Jesus says kids are important. So I'm going to do something this morning. I don't normally do this. As you know, I don't normally have kids' messages. But I'm going to invite any child that would like to come up here and sit with me as we talk through these questions. And I'm going to talk to them and you guys can listen. So if you'd like to come up here as a child, we're going to sit on the steps right here. Come on up here. And if nobody comes, then I'll figure something else out. So anyway, they had a number of great questions. And actually, I thought they might have a few more questions as they went through the morning. I don't know. Only three? Now, I know there's more than three out there. Come on up here. I don't bite. And I'm actually going to show you how I do this. See, this is the way it looks. You always wanted to know this, didn't you? How this thing works. So, good. So, who's going to be my helper this morning? You guys, come over on this side. Come on, come over here. Some of you come over here. Because I need some help down on this end. You, Jonah, you look like a guy who knows how to handle one of these. Can you just hang on to that? Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to touch that right there. Okay? Okay. Let's see, what did it do? Oh, there it is. So you can see back there. You all can read right back there. Look. You're going to join me? Great. Look back there. That's the question we're going to ask. Okay? And then we'll have scriptures. And I have my Bible here with me this morning, because I want you to see this. And if you have more questions, we'll answer your questions as we go along, if I can do it. Your questions are usually so good that I'm not sure I can do that. But here's the first one. Did creation happen in 6 literal days, or did it happen over 1 million years? Wow. What do you think? Well,
it happened in 6 years.
In 6 days, didn't it? It sure did. Okay.
It happened over a million years.
Well, that's what some people think, don't they? So here's what we're going to do. I told you that I would give you an answer from the Bible, okay? And so, Jonas, put the next slide up there for me. There it is. Okay, so this is the beginning of the Bible. And so I really believe that God gave us the Bible because we now can understand what happened, okay? So I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to talk about how we know that it happened in, I believe, 6 days. Okay, so here it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light, and God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night, and evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day." So here's what I want to ask you, and Dan, you can help me here, because I'm going to ask you this question. So it says here, "Let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness." What does light and darkness mean? Day and night have to do? I'm going to ask Daniel this question.
I know.
What do you think? What does it mean?
Well, darkness means
night, because you can't see in the darkness.
Right.
But light, you can see in the light.
And what would we call a night and darkness and light? What would we call that? When you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning and you go all the way through that, we call that a day, don't
mm-hmm.
we?
Yeah.
Right? One day.
Well, I know.
What?
Well, if it's day or night, that makes, well, what he said, I give him that too.
It makes 24 hours, doesn't it?
Yep.
24 yep.
hours means...
And it's interesting because... Oh, go back one there. We got to go. You're getting ahead of me. Right there. Okay. So, all these people out here, they think they're smarter than us. But let me tell you something. You guys nailed it. Okay? Light and day, what God says here, night, light and the day was called the day. And the evening passed and the morning came and it marked the first day. So here's the second reason, which we know this is the case, 24 hours, is the word for day here, and this is for you, all you adults out there, and for you kids, the word, the Hebrew word for day is yom, Y-O-M. Can you say that? Yom?
Yom.
Yom. And whenever you put one number in front of that word, it always means in the Hebrew Bible and in the Old Testament, 24 hours. Never does it change in the Old Testament. When you have yom and one, or yom and two, yom and three, that means 24-hour period. Now, when you think about this, you have to ask a question, though. And that is, most people look at what they have around us and all the structures and all the things that are out there, and you say, so how come it looks like it took a million years? That's what we have to ask. So in order to answer that question, I have to think about my God, okay? And I think my God has the capacity to do whatever he wants to do. There's a verse in the New Testament, it's not on here, but it says God uses the wisdom of the wise to fool us, because he takes the wisest thing is just the foolishness of God. Yes.
Was earth that makes earth, but if the sunshine makes sunshine, it is the sun from our universe.
From our universe, and God made the whole thing.
Yep.
So, if you want, parents, if you want to have some good response or some good information, there is a video that's on Netflix, and it's also in our media center called Is Genesis History. Does a fantastic job of bringing together the idea of the scriptures with what could be and how our world is made up. So that's the first question. Second question, let's have the next one there, Jonas. What evidence do we have that God exists? Okay, now this is from kids, all right? And we want to go to another spot, but... The first place I want you to remember is we just came from Genesis. And Genesis says that the world was created by God. So let's go to the next verse. Look at this one here now. So this is in Romans. You know where Romans is?
In the New Testament.
In the New Testament, okay. And I'm going to come over here to these young ladies. And I'm going to say, I want you to read that verse right there, verse 20.
For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God.
So what did that just say, Addie? What did that say?
He made the world.
And it's in the world that we see God.
If we all be nice to each other, that's why this is our earth.
That's our earth, and we should be nice to each other, shouldn't we? Yes, we should. So how do we know that God has made us? Okay, I'm just going to give you an illustration that just popped up. Now, tell me what your name is.
Tommy.
No, Thomas. Thomas. Thomas is a great example of God being evident in us. He is thinking about all this stuff. You see the thinking going on? Okay. And he's not sleeping. Okay. He's smart. Now, the reason I say that is because science figures out a lot of things, but they have not totally figured out the brain yet. They don't understand it, how it can work. And that's the evidence right there, a young child being able to think thoughts of this magnitude and process them in front of all you, okay, without being scared. That's pretty cool. That's the evidence. That's it. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature, so they are without excuse. Without excuse. That means they can't stand before God and say, I never knew. Because they lived in this world. They have seen all that's around us. And that's what God says about it. He says that's the reason it is. So let's kick the next question there, Jonas. Very good, Thomas. What happens to people who never had a chance to hear the gospel? Again, this is from a child. They're asking the question, what happens to this person? So let's talk about a person who is in India, okay, and who lives in a village that has never heard about Jesus. And he lives there, and he runs out to the village, and he climbs a tree, and he finds bananas. And he looks around and he finds berries, and he hunts for his food. And he one day says, you know what? I wonder where all this stuff came from. How did I get here? Because everybody thinks that thought. How did I get here? What happens to this guy who can never hear, never heard the gospel, and he lives his whole life never having heard, but he's lived in this place where he can see? So let's turn to the next verse. And this, I'm going to answer this question, Thomas. Hang on. The answer comes out of a story in the Old Testament about a man by the name of Abram. We often know him as Abraham, okay? But he was first called Abram. And Abram was a man who God picked out and says, I'm going to make you really a big nation. I'm going to make a whole bunch of people. You're going to have lots of kids. And those kids are going to have lots of kids. And you're going to have a big nation that follows you. But Abram lived a while and he never had any kids, couldn't have any kids. And so he thought that he was going to have to pass on all of his houses and his land and all his livestock. And he says to Jesus, or says to the Lord, then the Lord said to him, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. So Abram was saying, God, how can I have a whole bunch of children when I don't even have one child? So God says, that isn't going to happen. Then the Lord took him outside and said to him, look up into the
sky.
Yeah. What did God just do? He's using the creation to demonstrate to Abram. And what does it say? Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. Thomas, can you count the stars? You got it. Briggs, how many are the stars? I don't know. I agree with you. We can't count. We can start counting the stars, just like Thomas did, but we can't complete it. We don't know how many stars there are. So God is saying to Abram, you're going to have as many kids as the stars in the heavens. Now, I want you to see what it says there. Read what that says in the red. What's it say there, Maddie?
And Abraham believed the Lord.
And then it says, the Lord counted to him counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, that's kind of a strange way of saying things. He counted him as righteous. But it's kind of like saying this. So all of you kids right here, you're my friends, okay? And I consider you my friends, all right? That means I count you as my friends. So what God was saying was, Abram, you are righteous. You are right before me because of your faith, because you believed. You believed what I said. So where is salvation? It's in our faith in what God has revealed to us. So if God revealed to us by creation that he was the creator of the banana and the strawberry and the rabbit, and he gave me all these things, and I say, you know what, God, I believe there's one God, and you created all these things, and you are the one who I'm going to trust, I'm going to believe you. It is by their trust, by their faith, that they come to know to God. Now, I also believe that if a person says to God, I want to know you and I want to know more about you, I think he will send somebody to them. He has the capacity. If he created this earth like it is, he has the capacity to send somebody to him, doesn't he? Sure does. So let's go to the next one. So this one is another really important one. So do people get a second chance to get to heaven after they die? That's the question. It's a good question. Let's go to the next slide there. Hebrews 9:27 says something. And just as each person is destined to die once, after that comes the judgment. So we all are going to die. Even these little ones up here. Which is a really sad thing, okay? But the reason it happens is because we have all sinned. And God says that the sin that we have done has created death in this world. But we're all going to die, okay? So that's a fact of life. But the next thing it says is, after that, after we die, comes judgment. So when I think about the judgment, that means that there isn't a second chance after we die. We have to make those decisions in this life. Now, when you think, you might say, well, that seems kind of harsh. Well, in some respects it is. We die, and then we will be judged for what we do. However, God has already said to us, if you will believe, I will take care of it. You know, God says that we all, every one of us here, me, a pastor, and you guys kids, have all sinned. And because of our sin, somebody has to pay for our sin. That's your question. What's your question?
So, if God was there in the beginning, he will come to help people if they help another one, helping planting.
So if God was in the beginning, he'll come to help us. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. He has come to help us. He came to help us by Jesus. And so we have to make this question, which is, do I want to pay for my own sin, or will I let Jesus pay for my sin? So I can pay for my own sin over here, and that happens by going to places where God is not. Or I can say, Jesus, you paid for my sin. I want you to pay for my sin. So he becomes our substitute. He's died in our place. He paid for our sin. And so that's the reason we can say this, that we don't have a second chance, but we all have a chance in this life. What's the next question, Jonas? If God was in the beginning, if God was in the beginning, how was he born of Mary? Another one of those thought-provoking ones, okay? So here, let's go to the next verse there. God was in the beginning. We all agree to that, right? Okay, no questions? Hear what it says in Revelation. Just a minute, Thomas. Let me read this. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So Alpha is the beginning of the Greek alphabet, and omega is the end of the Greek alphabet. So we would say in English, let's see if these adults know this question. What's the beginning of the American English language? We can't hear you. A. And what's the end of the English language? Z. So we could say, I am the A and the Z, okay? The beginning and the end. And then he says these words, I am the one who is. Okay, girls, when he says, I am the one who is, what is he saying? Right now. I am God right now. Okay, present. I am the God who always was. What does that mean? Anybody know? Daniel?
He was before this time.
Before that. So past. So he's in the present. He's in the past. And then he says, and who is still to come? Let's see if they know this question. What does that mean? Future. And look what he says. I am who is. I am. This is who I am. I am in the present. I am in the past. I am in the future. I am the mighty one. In other words, I'm in all those locations all at once. So here's how it works. God does not, he's not confined by time. Okay? He lives outside of time. He doesn't have to work with time. So he is already in the beginning, he's at the present, and he's at the end, all at the same time. Now, for our little bitty brains, that is a really tough thing to do. I'm coming back to you in a minute. Hang on. I got you, man. Okay? He's in all of that. So when he came to Mary, this is what it says in John 1:14. You remember, Jesus was born of Mary and the Holy Spirit. So the Word became human and made his home. In other words, Jesus became a human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So what this says is, God's outside of time, and so he's not constrained by it. He doesn't have to operate by that. Okay? He can do what he wants. And so one day, when the time was right, he sent the Holy Spirit to Mary, and with his power, he created a baby inside of Mary that was totally human and totally God at the same time. And his name was Jesus. And he was a cool dude. He was cool. Everybody wanted to be around him. So that's how he did it. That's how God is outside of this stuff, and he came inside of time. And he is the only God in this world that ever became a man and then rose again from the dead. He's the only one who has ever, ever, ever beaten death. That's why he's the Almighty. He's the biggest God there is. He is the only God there is. Next one. How to include, so I wrote these just like the kids wrote them. How to include God, okay, yes.
In your daily life, and how it affects your and your family.
Yeah, and I wrote that wrong. It should say affects you and your family. And for this one, it's a really good question, but I just want to take you to the next verse there. You got another? Yes.
So see that T is for church. If it's our church, it means our universe. And
Are you going to be a preacher?
Yes. To help people know where. And if God knows if we need help, he comes to help us in the entire universe.
Yes, he comes to help us. He sure does. So here we are in Joshua. And this is what God says to us about how we can live our lives to affect our kids. Study this book of instructions continually. That is, this Bible right here. Read this, okay? And it says, meditate on it day and night. So he says, think, just a minute, Thomas. Shh. We are to read it and study it and obey everything that's written in it, okay? And then it says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command, to be strong or courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the way that we affect our children and our families is by reading the Word of God and obeying it. That's the answer to the question. So I want to say thank you to these really smart kids. Thank you for helping me this morning. It's not so bad sitting up here, is it? No, I didn't think so either. But I want to talk to your mom and dads for a minute.
Or your grandmas.
Your questions, the questions of children, need answers, okay? They just do. And as you can tell, you can get more questions than you possibly have time to answer. But take time to answer the children's questions. Don't brush them off, because this is the age they understand. And they've asked some of the most brilliant questions in this time, and sometimes they're even more profound than the adult questions, because they just don't have any filters. They just want to know. And so take time to answer the questions. And if you don't know the answer to the question, what a great opportunity. A great opportunity for you to figure out the answer. And if you don't have figure out the question, you know, give me a call. I'll put you in the right direction, and then you can study for yourself. So anyway, let's just pray, shall we? And thank God for being here today. Lord God, shall we pray, Thomas? What?
So this is children's question.
You got it, man. Thank you for your help today. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these children and their important part in our lives. Help us as adults to not push them aside, but to answer their questions and to be there for them and to build relationships and friendships with them. And Father, we pray that you would help us to obey your word, that we may be the example to our children of obedience to your word, that they may catch what we are, and that our words would match what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you so much.
Yes.
You're welcome, man.
You're awesome.
Can you thank you? Next week, we will be moving on to another topic. But I want to tell you something about me this week. I'm going to have some surgery this week. I've got a couple hernias that need to be fixed. It's an outpatient surgery. I don't tell you this because I wanted to let you know, but I figured it's easier to tell you this way than to tell you after the fact, so you can pray for me this week on Thursday. And I have kind of built into the system that Brett is going to speak for me next Sunday, because I don't know how lucid I'm going to be by that point. I don't know what it's going to be like, since I've never had surgery as an adult. So anyway, if you'd pray for me, I would appreciate it. So Brad, come on up with your worship team, and let's close out this morning with some worship.